Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. The message you are about to hear was delivered at Millington by Dr. Peter Pendell.
We've invested a long time in the study of the letter to the church at Ephesus. Actually, we've realized that it's not just to the church in Ephesus, it's to the churches in the area of Ephesus, and it was a general letter that was expected to be passed around. I don't know that Paul knew that it would be passed around to Millington Baptist Church. That's another question, but it surely has been passed around to us. And as far as I'm concerned, it is one of the most valuable pieces of literature in the New Testament or the Old Testament. We started back in May of last year, and I try not to go so long with a series of messages, but I just couldn't seem to change that. And we kept breaking it up for other series and other events and things on the calendar. So I hope it was not too long for you. It was not too long for me. In fact, I've told other people that one of the things I love more than anything else is to sit down with the Bible and a book like Ephesians or any other one, but especially Ephesians, just mull over the words and pray and say, God, help me to understand what's important here and connect the dots for me, because I won't get it unless you connect the dots. And then go to the commentaries, make sure I'm not off the track in some crazy direction, but then to come on a weekly basis and be able to tell you what I think I heard God say. I mean, and I get paid for that. So thank you. All these years you paid me to do that, and I am so thankful for that. That's one of the richest parts of my life, and I don't want to ever stop doing that in one form or another. So it's been my pleasure to look at the letter to the church in Ephesus. And I don't want to go all the details of the whole letter again. That's on the website. You can get that if you'd like to. They're all there under resources and messages, and you can find those if you'd like to go back and listen to any of those or record them for yourself. But I would like to take you back enough to just remind you that the letter to the church at Ephesus is about God's larger story. It's much larger than the story in you and I typically build for ourselves and think, oh, I'm going to live this way, I'm going to do these things, and I'm going to get this, and then I'm going to give that up, and then I'm going to get this. And that's a very small story compared to the story that God's been putting together, and in fact has been putting together before eternity past, and will go on after eternity future, if there's such a thing. Before anything was constructed, before any people were put together, before God did anything in terms of what we read in Genesis chapter 1, God was planning his story. He was going to plan it, he was going to execute it, and he was going to bring it to pass. And he's going to do that in the future as well. But amazingly, though it's his story, he gives us a part to play in it. So my part in God's larger story is something I desperately need to get a hold of. Too many people are living, and they would admit it, living a small story that involves just them, maybe their kids, maybe their wife, their husband, maybe a few other people, maybe their business, but they know as well as I do that those things are going to disappear, and then they'll have no story left. So it's incredibly important that I get a hold of that larger story and my part in that larger story so I can live it out and find meaning that goes far beyond anything that I could find apart from God's larger story. We looked at Ephesians. We found out that I enter into God's larger story by faith. There's no other way to do that. I can't make it myself. I wouldn't even think of the story, let alone enter it any other way than by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And fact is, we found that I stay in by his power likewise. Because I not only get in the door by his power, but I stay in the door. Stay in the room with God by his power. Because I know as well as you do that we have different kinds of temptations, and some of those are the kind that show up on the billboard when somebody does them and national leaders do them. Yeah, I've got those, but I've also got other ones that are more related to pride and be the center of attention and having it my way. So, you know, you can clean up the act, but it doesn't take away all the temptations in your life. And I know that. So the only way I'm going to stay in is by his power. The joy for me, though, is that I do not walk alone. I'm not intending to walk alone. I can't walk alone. I can't do this alone. I walk with you. And that's why I'm so committed to one church. And, you know, when we came to Millington, we said 10 years. That'll get our kids through school. And then we'll probably move on someplace else. Well, nobody else wanted us, so we never went anyplace else. So. But honestly, I wouldn't trade the years here for anything, because we've walked together. And yeah, we've disagreed. Of course we have. And yeah, I've disappointed you. And yeah, you've disappointed me. That really is nothing compared to the long story that God's given us together and that he's going to give to the next guy after me, I trust, because there's something developed in that long story that will be looked at down through the years. And we'll see our mistakes more clearly, no doubt, That's okay. But the story is what counts. You walk the story that God gives you. If he privileges you to stay for a long time with one group of people, that's wonderful. I walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, you and I couldn't do this for very long if we weren't walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, we turn our eyes away from him. I understand. I know that. And yeah, we forget. And yeah, I know that. But somehow the power of the Holy Spirit has to keep us going, or else we just wouldn't keep going. And that doesn't matter whether we're in the church or we're at home or we're at work or wherever we are. That's what we're called in this larger story, to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who lives within us, who took Jesus' place upon the earth as the comforter and the counselor and the power for living. And then we saw most recently that I am protected by the armor of God if I put it on. It doesn't go on automatically. It's not like my jacket, you know. It isn't on automatically anymore. I have to take the time to put it on. And if you haven't gotten one of those, there's some inserts still in the boat. Well, there were before this service anyway, the foyer. You're welcome to get one. It's not the final reading of how you might pray. And most of the time you won't even need it. You'll go through the armor of God yourself. But in the morning, you take the time, you put on the armor of God, and you ask God to protect you in the day that's coming forward. Because you have no idea what's going to happen in that day. You might be on a deathbed, or your kids might be, or you may lose your job, or you might get great, incredible promotion at work, and then you've got another set of temptations coming. Got to have it. Not this bookmark, but you got to have the armor of God if you're going to expect to live out what he wants you to be in the midst of life. So you can get one of those. We keep running out of them, make more, so as long as we need to, we'll make more, and people can get those. We're getting now down to the final study in Ephesians. This is the last message of those 25, and I wanted to summarize that, but I also wanted to remind you that the letter to the church at Ephesus is broken up into two parts. There's a systematic theology part, first three chapters, kind of a practical theology part in the second three chapters, so it's evenly divided between the two. Those are not distinct in themselves. I mean, some bleed over into the other, and no doubt, because you can't have a true systematic theology that's not practical, and you can't have a practical theology that's not grounded in what God says in Scripture. So, but if you think it in those terms of the first three as being systematic, and the other three as being practical, that'd be a good part for you to have in your mind as you study the book and read it in the future. Now Paul comes to his final words in chapter 6, and he's wrapping this up for these people who are going to read it in the first century and in the centuries after that. And the question is, how does he do that? What's on his mind? What's on his heart as he closes this down? And I would suggest to you that what's on his heart is the whole idea of finishing strong. After all this teaching of information and theology and great truths, and then some practical application of those as he goes forward in the last three chapters, his whole heart is turned towards finishing strong. Not because he sees death approaching. As far as we know, he has some time left. But he still, if he's going to have another 20 years, then he wants to make sure that when the 20 years come to an end, he's finished strong. If it's another year, then that's okay. He wants to know that he's finished strong. So when those folks come around his casket in the nursing home or in the funeral home or at the church, wherever it is, they'll say he walked what he talked. He did what he said he was supposed to do. And he didn't do it perfectly. He drove us crazy sometimes, but he did it. And that's my heart. That's really my heart, just to finish strong. I'm not so concerned what will happen after I retire in another year or year and a half. I just want to finish strong. And maybe I won't get to retire, and that's fine if that's what God calls. I just want to finish strong. Anybody here want to finish strong? Yeah, boy, oh boy. That's really what counts. And however long God gives you to finish strong, that's what you want. Ultimately, for Jesus to say, you were mine. He didn't just talk about it, but you were mine. And I just want to welcome you. That's a Pendel paraphrase of what he says, but that's basically what he's going to say if we are. Paul was determined to finish strong. So he goes into this last part of, really the last few verses of this letter to the church at Ephesus. And I think he gives us some sense in reading his life of how to finish strong. So let's go back to Ephesians 6, and I want to read verses 21 through 24 of that chapter, if I can. Verses 21 through 24. He's just finished the portion about the armor of God. Now he comes to what the NIV, at least in the heading, says, final greetings. And that's what it is, because this is a letter. Verse 21, he says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. It's a continuing dependence upon each other that he infers as he talks in those verse 21 and 22. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Paul is connected. He's connected to another group of believers. These happen to be in Ephesus, in that area, and he doesn't live there, but he's still connected to them. Because Paul knows that this is more than his job as an apostle. Paul knows that we can't survive unless we are connected somehow with other people who will encourage us and hold us to account and correct us and say, well done, and say, I'll do it with you, and let's go together. We've got to have that. We have to have that. This larger story is not a story that I walk alone in. This larger story is one that I walk hand in hand with other people who have the same conviction and the same desires to walk with God. And he calls me to that. In fact, that has been central to his teaching in the chapters that have led up to this. Go back with me to chapter 4, if you would. You'll find this in chapter 4, but you'll find it back earlier than this as well. But when you get to chapter 4, and he's making the transition from this theological statement to these practical ideas, in chapter 4, you'll see what he says, and it has all to do with the family of God. If you go to verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles of chapter 4, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is it? Well, it's the body of Christ. And I know that's a concept that exists out there, and all the people who have ever believed are part of the body of Christ. I know that in the New Testament period. I understand that. But, boy, if that doesn't get somehow brought down to the local body of believers and men and women get connected to each other in that local body, then it's just a theoretical idea, friends. Yeah, they're out there, but I don't trust myself with any of them, and they don't trust themselves with me. No, that's not what God had in mind. That larger idea of the body has to be spelled out in terms of local people who somehow connect with each other and build each other up. And the picture that Paul's presenting there is this body, like mine or like yours, if the parts are doing their part, if all the parts are doing their assignment, then the body gets stronger, and the idea is to have a mature, growing body that's stronger and more able to function in the face of the earth the way God wants it to. And what God gives to the church and God gives to the body is leaders. And he gives leaders for the purpose of helping other people get to a point where they can function and help and encourage and use their gifts and all those things. And what Paul is most concerned about right here is endorsing a leader for the churches. He's endorsing this man Tychicus, connecting believers with a leader. Incredibly important, because a leader has so much influence in people's lives. And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good. God's intention is for leaders in the churches to have a positive impact in people's lives, to be faithful. This man Tychicus is kind of interesting. He's only mentioned 4 times in the New Testament, though, I mean, 4 times in the New Testament, pretty noteworthy. But when you find him mentioned in the New Testament, he is invariably mentioned as a faithful steward of what God has given to him. Or a faithful worker, maybe in different language, different terms, but he's a faithful man. In fact, I did a cursory look at the people that Paul has a relationship with who are part of the network of people that he works with. And I found 22 people, may have missed a few here or there, 22 people who are named and are called faithful people. They're faithful men or faithful women. Romans 6 or 16 has the biggest assortment of them, both men and women, who are faithful fellow servants with Jesus Christ. And I was thrilled. 22 people named, plus others non-named, but 22 named. But wait a minute, there were 4 named who were not faithful. Oh, man. Now we're not talking about absolute numbers here, but 4 out of 22 or 4 out of 26, that's not really good numbers, is it? Truth is that not everybody who calls himself a leader or calls himself somebody who will guide folks is going to be faithful at the end of the time. And the warning comes to me. And the warning needs to come to all of us. It doesn't happen automatically. Is there any message there for Millington Baptist Church at this period of time, this point in time? You better believe there's a message right now. There's a search team looking for a new senior pastor to take my place. And I know men, I'm thinking of one in particular, but I know men who will cause incredible problems within the family of Jesus Christ if he's allowed to come into this place. And I would speak up if I ever knew of anybody that was going to, wasn't vetted right and caused problems in the last place. And now, don't get mixed up here. I don't mean that the next guy is going to be like me. He better not be, because you need some other things done. He better be different than me, but he better be faithful. He better be faithful to God's word, dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit, loving people, have a vision for where Millington is called to go, and be willing to pay the price to lead. So I don't mean anything other than that. I'm just saying that not everybody will be good for Millington Baptist Church. You better pray for that team, that search team. And you need to be a part of any kind of vetting process that goes on and any kind of dialogue that goes on. Don't stay away and say, well, I didn't have anything to say. Listen then and be there and be a part of that, because that is an incredibly important decision that's going to be made next year or so. And likewise, as there's a team just beginning to get together to look for the right leader for our youth ministry, oh boy, is that an important spot too, because he or she is going to have major impact in terms of the kids who are here at Millington and others who are not yet here but need to be here. So you pray for them too, and as there's a possibility of interacting, you interact with them. You find ways to do that. This has all kinds of meaning for us, this whole idea. You know, 22 faithful men, 4 who are not faithful. We better get on board and make sure that we're before God on our knees looking for the right people to lead us in the future, because we need leaders in the future. I mean, it means a lot to the nominating committee when they look for elders for Millington. It means a lot to the elders when they're looking at people to lead ministry teams, or they're looking at people in terms of membership process. Means all the world to them, because there's an incredible danger that a church like Millington can explode if the enemy has a foothold and gets his way. In fact, the words of Paul to the elders in Ephesus really rang true to me. Now, just as much as they did back in the first century. He's meeting with the elders, and he says to them in Acts chapter 20, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Now, it's a flock he's using as a picture, as opposed to the body, just little different ideas that come in there through it. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. So be on your guard. What's the message behind all this? Message is, we need each other. We need each other. God created us to need each other. And if we don't draw from each other, then we lose out, and somebody else loses out because I don't have input in his life or you don't have input in her life. That's how God made us. We need each other. There are no solo pilots that are allowed in the Christian church. There's no standalone Christian standing on the outside saying, oh, that church is so terrible, and that church is so terrible, I'm just not going to go. It's not the way God designed it. Yeah, this church is terrible at times. Yeah, that church is terrible at times. All churches are terrible at times, because they're made up of terrible people like me and you. But God says we need each other. We're going to do something different today, end of the message. In fact, I've got a bulletin here someplace, and in that bulletin, there's an insert in the bulletin. I thought, boy, if we need each other, let's say thanks to each other. If you saw the insert that's in the bulletin for the outline, then you saw the post-it note that's there. And in the foyer, where's that thing? It got moved. Oh, David's sitting there. David, when I'm done, put it up again, would you? Okay. There's a poster, and you probably saw it when you came in, where people put post-it notes. And they say thank you to other people. Thanks, Jimmy, for taking me to summer camp. Thanks, Billy, for teaching my Sunday school. Thanks, whatever. And if we have time before we quit today, I'm going to ask you to read from some of those if you'd like to. And just say thank you to people, because we need each other. And if we need each other and other people minister to us, then way to say thanks. Thanks. I'm not looking for this to be a thank you to the staff, though that's fine if you say thank you to staff members, that's fine. What I'm really looking for is people in this pew saying thank you to people over there, or people who are in their Sunday school class at the earlier hour, okay? So as I'm talking, I won't think you're not listening if you write down a note there. It's small, so you won't be too verbose, but we need to say thank you to each other. Easy way to do it. And you'll be fascinated with the notes that show up on the bulletin board out there. Lots of fun to read that. Paul knows, got to be connected. I got to be connected with other believers, and I'm going to do my part to make sure they have the right leadership in each of the churches that I have responsibility for. The second part of what he gets to in Ephesians chapter 6 is obviously a continuing dependence upon God. And it's all about it in verse 23 and 24. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Where's all that come from? Well, it doesn't come from Paul, it comes from God. So it's that continuing dependence for his peace, for his love with faith, for grace, for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all dependent upon God. And it is to the very end that he's talking about it, with an undying love, is the way he puts it in chapter 6, verse 24. Even a guy like the Apostle Paul needs all of this. All of this power and grace and peace, even and love. You know, you would think that Paul would get to a point where he doesn't need it. I mean, he's been walking with God for so long. He writes under the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't really need that, does he? Does he take a sideway glance at somebody who's not his own spouse? I'll bet he does. Does he skip his time with God, maybe on an infrequent basis, but does he ever skip his time with God? I'll bet he does. Does he ever get filled with his own press clippings? I'll bet he does. Yeah. Puts his pants on just like anybody else. That's right. He's just like anybody else. And so am I, and so are you. We're the same. We really are. The Paul I see in Romans chapter 7 is the Paul who continues to struggle with the old man and the new man. And he wants to get it right. So he writes about this struggle between the old, and this is as a Christian, this is not as a non-Christian, but he's got this new man living within him, this Holy Spirit living with him. But he's got this old man, this old Paul, who keeps pulling him in the wrong direction. And he confesses, there are times when I just go there, and I don't want to go there. And there are other times when I really want to go there, but I don't go there, and I can't figure it out. Who's going to help me with this? And he says, Jesus Christ will help me with this. But it's a journey, and it goes all the way to the very end. In fact, here's his heart in Philippians chapter 3. When he speaks of his desire, he says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Am I there? No, I'm not there. Of course not. But boy, I am going to give everything I have to get there. And to be the man that God has called me to be. The mature Christians that I hold up as models for me, older men and women that I hold up as models, and I've got them, I'll tell you that. Some of them are here now, some of them have gone on to other places, and they're living in different areas. But the Christians that I hold up as models for me are the Christians who don't know anything about the rocking chair except as they need the energy and the physical recuperation to get in the rocking chair. They are not sitting back doing nothing. Yes, their energy level may have reduced and their ability to get around, their physical levels may have been changed as time went on. But I'll tell you what, if they're stuck in a wheelchair, then they're stuck in that wheelchair to pray for me because I'm not yet in a wheelchair. Or they're doing something with some kind of ministry to make sure their lives count and they make a difference. You don't get to a point where you retire from the Christian life and coast. You just don't get there. I don't want to get there physically. I don't want to get there mentally. I surely don't want to get there as far as my Christian life is concerned, because that's not what God has in mind. There is no retirement from it. And the reason why those folks that I know of, that I hold up as models, are there is because they have under their belt the principle of manna. Remember the manna that God provided for the people in Israel as they traveled from Egypt over to Canaan? How often did they have to go out and get their manna? Every day. Going out, get my manna every day. Get my manna every day. Friday I get it twice, two loads, because I've got enough to take up my Sabbath, so I don't have to go out on the Sabbath and get it. But I've got to go out and get it every single day. Now, Let me see if you're really in tune with this. If they had a cooler that they were dragging behind them and they could put the manna in the cooler, would they be able to get more than one day? No. If they had a refrigerator that they trucked around with them, put it on one of those carts and trucked it around with them, how many days' supply would they get in one serving? One day? Yeah, one day. If they had a freezer with them, would they get more than one day's supply of manna? Not in your life. Why? Because God knew that if I picked it up on Monday and I got enough to make me okay through Saturday, by Wednesday I would have been busy with other things and going back to get God's manna. So God knew that on a daily basis I had to do something so I'd get the manna. And if I didn't get the manna, then I'd starve. And I begin to show the results of starving. And the results of starving are not fun. They're not nice. They're not good. And so God says, you come back, Peter, every day and get your manna. And so he said, daily. I don't care if you have a refrigerator. I don't care if you have a freezer. I don't care if you have a cooler. You come on back and get your manna. Just a few minutes, we're going to take time to thank other people in the family for the way that they've encouraged us to keep on going. But let me ask you a question before we do that. What are you going to do tomorrow to get your manna? Tomorrow morning, tomorrow night? I don't know. You choose your time. But you're not going to be healthy if you don't get your manna. So what are you going to do tomorrow to get your manna? Now, I'm not talking about 3 hours. If you got it, that's great. But most people don't have 3 hours. I get paid to get my manna, so this is really neat. You don't get paid to get your manna. So where are you going to get your manna, and when are you going to get it? And how are you going to get it? Maybe half hour? I don't know. Seems like that's a reasonable expectation. But maybe not. Maybe it's 15 minutes tomorrow. You got to get your manna. Where are you going to go get your manna in 15 minutes? I don't mean to reduce this down to nothing, but what if it's 5 minutes? Where are you going for your manna tomorrow? What time? Where are you going to be? What portion of the Bible are you going to go to? Or what book are you going to read? So you can get your presence of God. Because that's what the manna is. It is the presence of God in your life. So what are you doing tomorrow to get your manna? If you put it off to tomorrow to decide, you probably lose the passion that the Holy Spirit has driven up in your heart right now. So don't wait until tomorrow to decide. Decide now, and then tomorrow do it. For now, take these things. Let's talk about people who have been Jesus with skin on in your life. People who, you know, somehow they came alongside you. Maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's a friend from a Bible study, maybe it's somebody else. I don't know, but what I'd really like to have you do is we're going to take the microphones around. Maybe you can have one up there. I don't know, Dave. If you got one up there, I'll get a couple here and I'll get Luke to walk around with me and we'll hand out the microphones. Let me just turn these on. There's a red one and a yellow one. And you can make use of your post-it note. And then, whether you speak now or not, if you take the post-it note and put it on the board in the foyer, then the rest of us could read it and rejoice with you. So who's got a post-it note they want to read? Yeah, see, Mara? Oh, right there. Just stand where you are, would you? You've got to see who you are so we can remember you.
Thank you, Vicki Parker, for having coffee and praying with me. Your friendship and Christian love is a great encouragement.
Wow. I don't see Vicki here. I see her family. You tell her, okay? Yeah. Lee?
Thank you, Amy, for being a voice for the unborn.
Amen. Oh, we got a visitor. Come in, Oklahoma. Just
Nebraska.
Oh, it's the same. So, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
I'll just read my note, but thank you. Just hold that up. Millington Church family, you accepted me, encouraged me, and loved me for the last 2 weeks. I was really lonely when I got here. Sorry. And I love you guys.
That's great.
And that's what's great about Christ is no matter where we are, he provides for us, be it a family, manna, whatever. And yesterday was phenomenal. And it's
so cool.
Amazing how I was put here to be here yesterday. So thank you.
That's so great. Well, you're welcome here. Who else got a post-it they want to read? Yeah.
Hi, Thank you, Rob Quartz, for making junior high exciting and fun to learn about Jesus. Also, thank you, Mike and the other teacher, for making our class so much fun.
That's so cool. Thanks. Who else has got one? Got a post-it you want to read? Oh, just give that to her, would you?
It's better to read it, isn't it, than to say it. We just really want to thank Peter and Alona for making us feel like a big part of their family, since we do not have family living in the area.
Thanks, James.
And to many of the rest of you, but you too have just been stellar at being our friends.
Good. It's been our privilege. Somebody else got a post-it note you want to read? Yeah, Sandy. Hey, Luke, you got to start traveling, you know?
Thank you, Debbie and Bill, for leading me to Jesus. Thank you, Paul, Kathy, and Jackie, for helping me learn about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. New Christian, speaking her thanks.
I'm going to be self-indulgent, but I want to thank Deb for, can't say it, I should read it, but for being steadfast and brave and blazing the trail for me to be able to lead and being my mentor in that. And I also just want to thank the church, Bill and Ruth and Debbie and Jim and our Sunday school class for making this home for us in the last 2 years that have been so hard.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, there's Ron.
Cheryl, say I don't need a mic.
Yeah, I know. You do need a mic.
There's a lot of people I'd like to thank, but especially want to thank Eddie Williams while I was out job hunting for meeting me for breakfast. It really meant a lot and really helped keep me positive.
That's great.
As well as our church, while I lost my job, it was just amazing the amount of people that came up and were praying for us. Mm-hmm. So just thanks to everyone.
Yeah, that's family. Shannon, Sharon's right there. Shannon, you're going to meet her later.
I want to thank Jim Owens and Ed Williams for their faithfulness and their kind encouragement each Sunday morning to me and many others in the body.
Thank you, Pete. Others? Hey, Chris.
I want to thank Mr. Melillo and Mr. Barnes for guiding me through my faith.
Hey, thank God. That's so cool. Yeah, Jack?
My wife's a member here. I'm a Catholic who visits often, but Pastor Pendel has been a great friend to me personally and in times of need, and has always tried to guide me spiritually without being overbearing or anything like that, and I really appreciate it in your patience, and thankful to have you as a friend.
Thank you, John. Anybody else? Got to post it? Yeah. Terry?
Thank you to the encouragement team and the girls from gym and the body of the church, all of who have prayed for myself and my family during our hard times. And a special thank you to my daughter Shannon, who has made me so proud and being baptized 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's cool. Thanks, Terry. Oh, I'm sorry.
He didn't just slip me a 20 either. In all seriousness, I want to thank both Luke and Jenny Cianello for being such good friends and for being just a godly example of what faithful service to God, family, and friends looks like.
Thank you. Great.
I want to give a special thanks to Margaret and the Leadership Women's Team for bringing in Jennifer Sands yesterday. She's an amazing biblical teacher, and she's had a profound impact on my future walk with the Lord.
Thank God. Thanks, Brooke.
I just wanted to thank Dr. and Mrs. Williams and their family for all their prayers for me. So.
I actually don't even know his name, but I wanted to thank the man in the back who warmly welcomes me every time, because I'm late more often than I'm on time. warmly welcomes me as if I was the first person to walk in and, you know, never a judgment or like, why can't you get out of bed on time? Just always.
That's great,
nice Karen.
That's great. Oops, Ken. Go ahead. Tom, come on in.
I wanted to thank Charles Moore. Charlie, I don't know if you're here, but for your example of eager service, sometimes at great personal expense. Like at the last minute yesterday, he volunteered to just drive the shuttle for the women's event yesterday.
Yeah.
And Charles, I know with your health challenges over the last year, you even wondered, you know, what God has for you to do. I think some of it is the example and your eager service to an example to all of us.
That's great. Kim?
Good morning. Nanette, I was going to come and thank you after church, but thank you for your encouraging words and God's truth that I needed spoken into my life. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ready to go home? Somebody's hand. Oh, Sonia, sorry. Linda?
I'm sitting here thinking I have a lot of people to thank. So I narrowed it down to three. Is that okay? So I just, real quick, Madeline Farrell, are you in here? I don't know if you're in here. She's a Sunday school teacher for my son, Connor, and I'm just so thankful for her and for the love that she gives him and the teaching of God's word and all the other Sunday school teachers that rotate in for him. I'm just so thankful. And Jane Robinson, I love you. And I'm so thankful for you for Tuesday mornings. And I feel like you're another mom for me. So I love you. And that might have been it. I had one more. Anyway, thank you.
Jim?
I'd just like to thank all of the leaders that have kept Millington here. I've come here for 35 years, and it's still the same. It's different, but it's still the same. It's a constant that I can always count on.
That's great, Jim. Over here.
Yeah, I just want to thank Mike from the prayer team. I don't know his last name. I never met him, but he called me last week to tell me that he had been praying for me for my job, to find a new job. And I don't know, I just thought that was so special. I never even met him. Well, thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Carol. Want to go to lunch?
I remember.
Oh.
I cannot leave this person out. Carrie Porter, I don't know, are you here today? Tom is here, but she has been such a blessing. She takes care of the kids on Wednesday nights so that we can go to youth group. And the kids adore her and love her, and she just loves them so much, and it's been such a blessing. So, Tom, just let Carrie know.
Okay. Anybody want to get in under the wire before I pray? Uh-oh, here comes Jen.
I just want to thank Mary Smith. She probably doesn't, you all don't know, but she prepares all the lessons for all the preschool, and she's also the coordinator for Summer Adventure. So she's working a lot. So with the three boys, I'm just so grateful for her diligence and perseverance.
And organization.
Let's stand up and join hands and thank God for the way he's knit us together. And take your Post-it after the service is over and just put it on that board, and David will put that up on the ledge there, and we'll be able to read it together. Amen. Let's pray. Thanks, God, for your goodness, your grace. You're such an encouragement to us. You know what we need, Lord, and we thank you for this time of encouragement and for the messages that will be given to other people even as we leave this place of gratitude. We are most grateful for your grace and your love, and then we're grateful for each other, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless.
Who do you want to give thanks to for being Jesus with skin on for your life? There it is. Let me get a microphone. If I can, let me see. It's the blue one. Okay? Margaret, would you run this around? That'd be great. Anybody want to take that mic and just give an idea of what you have written down on that post-it? Yeah, Ruth is over there. She wants to say something. Wouldn't you know it's the one on the other side, Margaret? I'm sorry.
She makes me want.
Yeah, oh, you can speak real loud. Yeah, you can do that.
Hello.
Yeah, it's better because your voice varies.
I've been meaning to do this for a long time, and I always say I'm going to send a card. I'm going to send him a card, and it's to Pastor Chad and the choir.
Yeah.
They just, you know, each Sunday they just want to make me cry with their beautiful voices.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And the way they just worship the Lord and make me want to worship him. I just thank God for all of your voices, and please keep doing it, and especially when you do it at both services. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ruth. Thank you. You can put that post-it on the board out there later. Somebody else got something on a post-it you want to share right now? Yeah, Marianne's over here. Let me see. I think I can get another mic, and we can split this in two.
No, I thought of Jeannie Cernak, because I know that I can always call her or go to her and ask her to pray.
Absolutely.
And that happened last night. I left her a message and I said, I really, really need you to pray. And I knew she would be.
Yeah,
and I just appreciate Jeannie so much.
Thank God. You put that on that post-it board back there. Who else? Oh, man, Art, I can't throw it. Sorry.
That's all right.
You go ahead. Isn't that the greatest? 98, small group. Thanks, Jim. Who else? Got a post-it? Put you on the spot, didn't I? Go ahead, Sam. That's the red one. Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Not on? I'm sorry. Use your Marine voice, will you, Sam? It's on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. The Marine voice.
I was Marine in World War II, and also they took me for Korea, too. They liked me so well, they wanted me to go to another war. But my wife and I, how many are in Burger King? How many go to Burger King? A lot of them. We go to Burger King, too. And I was sitting against three young men were across the table from me, and I looked at it, and they all had Marine Corps on them, and I said, boy, I bet you they're going to go in the Marines. So I walked over them and talked to them and gave them a little bit of what I went through just to let them know this wasn't a lot of fun. And then my wife came over with three Gideon. We belong to the Gideons, and we give out Gideon books to the different schools throughout the year. And she had three Gideon books, and I gave one to each of them. And I said, read the last part, and if you believe that, then you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Then sign your name in the back. And these kids were really interested. You would say, well, gee, you're just there for a few minutes. Could this? But it did happen. They were actually so interested. They listened to me, and they all signed that Bible. And they looked at me, they said, thank God. I said, well, I got to go because I got to get my wife someplace. But we prayed for just a minute. Now, if you have a chance, you may only have a few minutes, but these three chaps are going in the Marines, and they're going.
18.
What's that? 18. That was the average age when I went in. I was older than that, but that's the average age of the Marines in World War II. But I said, you boys are going straight to hell, but you got a chance. Accept God as your personal Savior. And they did. They wrote it in the back of the book. And it was just a wonderful blessing. And boy, those kids were so interested. So if you see something, grab it.
Thanks, Sam. Dr. Chern. Thank you, Sam. Isn't that cool to see a husband and a wife who are an evangelistic team going out to Burger King? That's cool. Anybody else? Got a post-it note? Yeah. Gary.
I'd like to give a special thanks for all of our teachers next door, and I especially think of a few in particular. I think of Linda Clark, and I think of Mark Melillo, and I also think of those that lead the Bible studies on Sunday evenings.
Right.
Jim Nerger and Lee Barnes, who lead the junior high Band of Brothers Bible study on Sunday nights. And I know Carrie wanted to mention also for the girls that lead the GEM ministry.
That's right. Right.
And shepherd our children's hearts, you know, as they're in their faith journey. And these people are very special in the time that they dedicate to leading our children. And who leads the GEM? Sonia, Tammy, and Lynette.
That's great. We
want to give special thanks to.
You may have to borrow another Post-it note to get all that on there. Here's Wayne Frere.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Jack Davis. He's always standing at the front door. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to seeing him standing there with a friendly handshake and a wave and his big cowboy hat.
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, Carolyn? Just pass that over.
I'll just read what I wrote. Dear Carol.
Carol Hildon?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you for your care and encouragement. Thank you for your prayers for our kids. Thank you for your joy, cheerfulness, and example. Thank you for your challenging words. Thank you for making me feel loved. Love, Carolyn.
Thank God. Okay, Mark? Oh, Kathy, yeah.
I wanted to thank the members of my singles Sunday school class for their faithfulness in studying God's Word with me, for their encouragement, certainly, and just how we've come together to minister to the to one another and ways in which we minister to the community.
Thank God. Thank God. Yes, Agnes?
Peggy Clark.
Just hold that up.
I just want to say how I admire your strength and your obedience and faithfulness to God's plan in your life.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God. Yeah.
I know you said not to do this, but I don't see how I can't. I would like to thank all of the staff members and for each of the different examples that you've given throughout the 20-plus years we've been coming here, but each of the different ways. You, Alona, Amy, Margaret, Chad, Dawn, all of them. All
Thank
of you.
Thank you, Sharon. Did you want this? Peggy?
In case I miss out on anything, my hearing is very bad. But I want to tell you that not only for yesterday, I see the evidence in Margaret Hess's life. Yes, she put a lot of work and preparation into yesterday, but all of the Bible study and the evidence of her care about other people and following through and upholding people in prayer, and it's always a reminder of God's presence in her life that reaches out. And I find that in you, too. You follow through. Not only giving us the message from there, but you make very evident that you care through God's love and concern.
Thanks,
and obedience.
Peggy. Thanks, Peggy. By the way, Agnes was giving thanks, Peggy, for your faithfulness.
For my what?
Faithfulness in the role that God has asked you to play. Anybody else got a Post-it? We're going to run out of time now. We're going to quit in just a second.
I do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
The guy I'd like to thank is he's a rough and tumble plumber, contractor, Dave Grundyke. Definitely a man of action. More than one time in my life when my back's been against the wall and the chips are down, you give him a call, he drops what he's doing, and he's come to help me out, bail me out. So I know he's not here this morning. He's probably helping somebody with a flooded basement. But thanks, Dave.
Thank you, John. John's a tile guy, and Dave's a plumber. They work together a lot, and John just fixed our baptistry, so we're hoping it won't leak next time. Anybody else want to, before we quit? Well, keep it going, would you please? And use those post-its on the board in the foyer, because it's refreshing when we say something to each other. It really is. And we all need it, and we all have something to say, because we all depend upon each other. Pray with me, please, as we dismiss. You're a great God, Lord, and we see that in so many ways. And one of the ways we see it is in the lives of people who live for you and walk with you and whose lives touch ours. And we could keep on naming them over and over again, and we can't do that due to time, but one of the things I look forward to in heaven is being able to go to the guys and the women who have touched my life in days past and who will in the days future, and talk to them about how much it's meant and what a change in my life they've brought, because they've lived as Jesus with skin on in my life. So thank you for each one who has spoken, and those who are thinking now about what they want to say to others. And dismiss us, we pray, with your blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Mark. Hi, Robin. See you, Joe. You take care.